All right, grab your Bibles. We're going to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 to pick up right where we left off last week. Corinthians is a letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to this church that lives in a very affluent area. It was the center of trade from the Eastern and Western worlds, successful in business. New houses are being built there. They love sport, entertainment, theater. They prize education. They have systems of sensuality to participate and enjoy. It looks a lot like Erie, Colorado. And here in the midst of this very affluent neighborhood, Paul plants a church. The Spirit of God was at work that it awakened faith in Corinth, that many came to faith. And for 18 months, he was teaching them the ways of God that were different than the world they grew up in, a different culture than the world that they knew. And over the time in which Paul has departed, he's received word that this new church ain't doing so good, that there's divisions amongst them, and they're fighting and quarreling over many things that the world fights and quarrels over. And so Paul is writing this letter to say, church, that's not of you. You're something distinctly different. And as he reminded them last week, you are the children of God. You are the sons, the daughters of the Most High Living God. This is your identity. And then he has this regret that they have not grown up much. That they are children of God, born into the family of God, but they're still acting like infants. They're still holding to the wisdom of the world, the ways of the world, that wear its badges around saying, I belong to Paul, I belong to Apollos, I belong to Cephas, I'm better than you, you're less than me. He says, stop acting like children. When I was among you, I gave you milk because you were a baby. But it's time to grow up now so that I can give you some meat, so I can give you things, he says, the deep things of God. And so he calls them to be mature children of God, to grow up as the children of God so that he can teach them the deeper things of God. Now, here in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, we're going to bump into some deep things of God that honestly, infants in the faith will struggle with. Those who are young in the faith will struggle with. I'm going to say even some who are mature in the faith will struggle with. These are some of the deep things of God pertaining to three things about being human that you are intimately aware of. Your identity, your community, and your security. The world is trying to find its identity, a community to belong to, and security. And here Paul is going to talk about the deep things of God that give the people of God a distinct identity, community, and security. And we need help to understand these things. And so I'm going to pray for us, and then we're going to unpack it. So Father God, we ask that by your grace, you would be our teacher. Father, we ask now for the Holy Spirit who authored these scriptures through the personality and the person of Paul to now be our interpreter, to be our teacher, our instructor, to remind us of these things, to help us see who we are, where we belong, what is our true security, so that we would be built up, mature in the faith as the people of God. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. All right, so 1 Corinthians chapter 3, we're going to go to verse 10 and pick up where we left off. Here we go. Paul says, according to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation and someone else is building upon it. Let each one take care how he builds upon it. For no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become manifest, known, for the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. If the work that anyone has built on the foundation survives, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is built up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but only as through fire. Do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him. For God's temple is holy, and you are that temple. Let no one deceive himself. If anyone of you thinks that he is wise in this age, let him become a fool, that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is folly to God. For it is written, he catches the wise in their craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are futile. So let no one boast in men, for all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or the present or the future, all are yours, and you are Christ's, and Christ is God's. These are some deep things of God. Would you agree? This is going to shape for us an identity, a community, and a security. The world is restlessly trying to find these things that are revealed to us today. So the first is where we begin. Paul says, by the grace of God. It's not because Paul is better than others, not because Paul necessarily brings a set of skills that others don't have. It's no, by the grace of God that he has called this man, Saul, to be the apostle Paul and given him this gracious work of laying down a foundation to begin churches. Churches like Corinth, in places that didn't have churches. And so he says, it's by the grace of God. This is a work of God that's been done. Remember, I'm a fellow worker. I'm a servant. But God's the one that's given the growth. It's by the grace of God that I have done this. And he says, I'm like a master builder. You could actually translate that word to one word, wise. I'm like a wise builder. And so here Paul is saying, you have the wisdom of the world, and they've been trying to build an identity in this church. And I'm another kind of wisdom that's come, and like a wise builder, by the grace of God, I've laid a different foundation that many people in this world have ever laid, that have been laid here in Corinth. It is the foundation of Jesus Christ. It is the foundation of the church. No one can lay any other foundation for a church than Jesus Christ. There's a lot of community groups that's not a church. There are a lot of people pretending to be churches that do not have the foundation of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, come, crucified, buried, ascended on the third day, or rose on the third day, ascended to the right hand of the Father, that are not churches, if that is not their foundation. Think about the other foundations that some churches try to build themselves on. Let's build it on a personality. Let's build it on philanthropy. Let's build it on like being a community center. Let's build it on, and you can just imagine all the different ways in which churches are trying to build a foundation to try to gather a crowd, and Paul's saying, there's only one foundation to build on, and it's the one I laid, and that is the foundation of Jesus Christ, period. It's the only one that will last. So think about the churches that you've attended. What do you think their foundations were? Some of them were probably Christ, crucified, dead, buried, risen, ascended. What's the foundation of this church? Well, from time to time, you get tired of me talking, and so your mind wanders, and you find this mission statement right here on the wall. And it says, we're building Christ-centered communities of people, fully devoted to loving God and loving others. You could translate Christ-centered to foundational. Like, this is the centerpiece, the foundation of everything we are doing here in every single ministry. There is no other centerpiece, no other foundation that we would want to build on than Jesus Christ. So Paul says, I, by the grace of God, I laid that foundation, and now he's going to speak about those who are building, those who are ministering, pastoring, leading this church now. And so really this conversation is about church leadership and how churches choose to build on this foundation. Now I'm going to expand that a little bit and say it's really about those who are ministers of the gospel in the church. And so we think of membership as ministers. Many of you are ministers or leaders in small groups, life groups, men's groups, women's groups, children, students. You're in our outreach, our global missions. Most people here at Calvary serve in one of these capacities, are leading a ministry, are building on the foundation of Christ. And the question is, how are you building? How am I building? How are we building on that foundation? What materials are we using? And so he points out that this really conversation is about someone else. Verse 10, someone else is building. Let each one, those people who are building, take care of how they build. Be mindful of how they build. Verse 12, if anyone builds on the foundation, so any one of these teachers. Verse 13, each one's work will become known. Each one will be revealed of what they've done. Verse 14, anyone has built on the foundation survives. Verse 15, if anyone's work is burned up. So he's talking about those who are building the church in Corinth, those who are leading the church in Corinth. He's saying, okay, there's really three kinds of builders. One's really a destroyer. But three types of those who are working right now in Corinth. There are those who are using imperishable materials, precious stones like gold and silver, marble. Now, the point of that is that they last. That they're imperishable means like that fire does not consume them. Because in the day, and if you look in your scriptures, verse 13, the day is capitalized. That's to give you a clue. They talk about the day of the Lord. This is code for when the Lord returns. The day of the Lord is a day in which he brings his life and judgments, that all the things that people have done would be exposed, would be manifest, would be known, seen, and then evaluated. How did you build? What did you do? What foundation did you build on? And so in that day, when everything is laid bare and everything is known in that moment, he's saying there are some who are building for that day with precious stones like gold and silver. That a refiner's fire doesn't consume, it only purifies more. It lasts. And then there are those who are building with wood, straw, stubble, hay, and it's just going to be consumed up. So what are the things that Paul has in his mind that you would build on that are precious, that are lasting? Well, think about what is the Word of God? It says the grass withers and the flower fades, but the Word of God endures forever. How about if I build this into your life? You build this into my life. We build our lives around the scriptures because it's the Word of God that lasts forever. People's opinions, insights, fads, trends, they don't last. The Word of God does. So if you're going to build on the foundation of Christ, what would be one thing you'd want to go to? How about the Word of God? They build this into your life that you would know it. For this lasts forever. Now, many commentators have pointed out that in this section, about building on the rock of Jesus Christ, the foundation, often parallels the Sermon on the Mount. And so maybe in Paul's mind is the teaching of Jesus that we find in Matthew chapter 5, where he's talking about this everlasting kingdom, its economy, its ethic, who belongs to it, how it operates in the world around us. And here in the very beginning is the famous Beatitudes. Let me just highlight a couple. Blessed are the meek, the humble. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. That's everlasting. Blessed are the humble, not the proud, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God, be with God forever. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. These are eternal things. Humility, building it in your life, into this church. Being peacemakers with one another, building that into your life, into this church. That's contrasted with wood, straw, and stubble. How's the leadership operating in Corinth right then? They're boasting in themselves, right? I follow Paul. I follow Apollos. I'm better than you. You're worse than me. And then they're dividing themselves up. They're not humble. They're not peacemakers. That's all going to be just consumed right up. And so the church has to be built on the foundation of Jesus Christ. There is no other foundation to put the church on. And then how you build, how we build, really matters. There are a lot of churches that have different building campaigns about different things. And they want to build on maybe things that aren't the eternal things, the Word of God. They want to build on tips and tricks and who knows, whatever. This is the dog and show, the dog and pony show, you know? There are churches that, you know, that divide themselves up because the most important thing is the color of the carpet. Like, I mean, really matters, the color of the carpet, or we're going to build ourselves up on what music that we prefer. And so we like this music and not that music. That music's too old. That music's too new. That music's too loud. All of that's perishable. We're going to build on the foundation of Jesus Christ with the things that last forever, with humility, peacemaking, with the Word of God. This is just getting us in the direction of what Paul is saying, because there will be a day in which it's all revealed. So back here in 1 Corinthians,
Looking down at verse 13, each one's work will become manifest, known, for the day will disclose it, because it'll be revealed by fire, and the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. Now, if you've worked well, he says, and built the foundation and survives, he will receive a reward. Here Paul is giving an insight, which he's going to expand on later, that there are rewards that are connected to how we build. What we do here in the lives of one another, ways in which we serve at the church, is recognized for eternity. That's a bit of a mystery. Some would say, okay, well, that's the illusion of the crowns that we receive, the crowns of glory, things that we have been noted for as we step into eternity. But people will say, well, have you read Revelation? What do we do with those crowns? We all take those crowns and we lay them at the feet of Jesus. And so who cares about rewards, because you're just going to lay it down at the feet of Jesus? And I'd say, okay, if Revelation is a picture of eternity and there's an eternal cosmic worship service in which you're participating by laying down the crowns, would you like to have some crowns to lay down? Would you like to participate in the worship service? It's like, yeah. So that's connected to how you build here. How we build on the foundation of Jesus Christ. For those who build with just wood and straw and stubble, the wisdom of the world, quick tricks to get the crowds in maybe on the church. It says, if anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but only as through fire. Now he's going to be saved. Why? Because you're not saved by your works, are you? We're saved by faith through saved by grace through faith, and that is not of yourself, but a free gift given. So that's the foundation of Jesus Christ. That's why he's still saved, she's still saved, is because they're still in the foundation of Jesus Christ, but their works, those rewards, the participation in this cosmic worship is suffering loss somehow. I don't know how that works. These are the deep things of God. But he's saying, so take heed, those of you who are building on this foundation, how you build. Now, I know the conversation is about the church and about the church leadership and how they're building, but let me just ask you, your fellow participants in this, what are you building your life on? Like, what's the foundation of your marriage? What's the foundation of your finances? What's the foundation of your sexuality? What's the foundation of your future? What's the foundation of your life? Is it Jesus Christ? It's the only one that survives. A life built on Christ is the only one that survives. And then what is the work that you are building in your life? Is it imperishable? Like, think about the things that you're really giving your attention to, your time to, wanting to instill into your life or instill into your kids or instill into your family. Are they eternal things? Or is it like, I really want you to be better at sports. I really want you to be more successful in the public opinion. Many of those things are good in its own sense, but it's not imperishable stones that last forever. And so take heed, what foundation are you building your life on, and what materials are you using in your life to build? Now, what is Paul saying? What are we building here? Well, we're building nothing less than the temple of God. This is wild. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 3:16. Do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? Do you know that? Now, later on, he's going to talk about how our bodies individually are the temple of God. But here, the you is plural. We've joked about this, that the English plural for you is y'all, and I said that a couple times, and someone from the South said, actually, there's a bigger plural of everyone, says all y'all. And I was like, oh, that's good. And so Paul's saying, all y'all, when you come together, do you know that you are the residence, the temple of the living God? The temple of God is what we see in the Old Testament, beginning of the tabernacle. A portable sanctuary in which God manifested his presence, where heaven and earth were joined and Moses was able to meet with God. And then it was permanently placed in Jerusalem when Solomon built the temple, in which God's presence came and manifested itself. Heaven and earth were joined together and God met with the priesthood of God. And here Paul is saying, do you know
that that's what's happening right now at 10 o'clock in Erie, Colorado. That in a unique way, God is manifesting his presence with us, unlike even how we meet with him in our individual devotions through the week. All y'all come together and are the temple, the residence where heaven and earth are meeting, and God is meeting and speaking and comforting and encouraging and correcting and challenging and uplifting his people. From time to time, people come in, who are new at Calvary come in here and say, man, there is a spirit here that is incredible. I said, that's the living God. Like, we don't make that. We don't manufacture that. It's not a program we're doing here. That is the living God meeting with his people, for we are his temple. This is what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2, where he's talking about that we are the household of God, that we are built on the foundation of Jesus Christ that the apostles laid, verse 21, in whom the whole structure being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. That's what's happening amongst us. It's not just some individual effort, individual pursuit of God. It's what God is doing amongst us, with us as a collective. This is what Peter says about what's happening with the people of God. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4. As you come to him, that's Jesus, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God chosen and precious. He's the cornerstone, the foundation stone. You yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. That's what we're doing. So when Paul says in 1 Corinthians, you are the temple of God, the foundation is Christ, be careful how you build. You know what he's also telling him? You no longer have to attend to the temples of the world to get your identity, community, and security. Remember, Corinth is filled with temples. Temple of Zeus. They have the political temple to the Caesar of the day, emperor worship. They have the temples of sensuality to go and experience all of these different temple priests or prostitutes. And then why do you go to temple in Corinth? Well, it's a source of identity. It's, I belong to this God. I worship this God. It's a sense of community. This is where people from Corinth go. So it gives me my identity, and it's giving me community at these temples. And then what else are you doing at temple? Why do you go to temple? So that you can have maybe blessing, that the gods would be favorable to you. Maybe you have a trip coming up. Maybe you're starting a business. Maybe you're wanting to have children, and so you're seeking God's favor. And Paul's saying, no, you don't have to get it. You don't get it. The wisdom of the world operates like this. The teachers, the sophists are continuing to be the wisdom of the world. I'm going to give you a totally different foundation. I'm going to give you a totally different idea of what God is building, that you belong to it for your identity, community, and security. And you no longer have to attend to the temples of this world. Are there a lot of temples in this world that are offering those things? Yeah, there are. And you have it. The world is restless trying to find their identity, community, and security. And you have it, Christian. Let me show you at the very end here. So 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 21. So, okay, we're talking the foundation, the building, you're in Christ. So let no one boast in men. That's what's happening in Corinth. No longer boast in men. For, you can circle that word for in your Bible. That's because. Why don't we boast in men? Why aren't we attending these temples? Why is this happening? For all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas. So you've been walking around saying, I belong to Paul. I belong to Peter. I belong to Apollos. And Paul's like, you don't get it. You don't belong to them. They all belong to you. They serve you. You don't belong to them. They all belong to you, for you're in Christ. Look at this. For all things are yours. This world is yours. Who will inherit the world, the eternal world to come? The children of God, the meek, the peacemakers.
They will inherit the world, or life. Life is yours. And it says, death is yours. What does death is yours mean? It means death itself is your servant. It serves you. What does Paul say? Life is Christ, and to die is what? Gain. Death is a servant of you, Christian. That even if you, when you die, death is the doorway to bring you into the eternal presence of Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, forever. You're like, man, all things are yours. Everything is yours. Life or death, the present right now or the future, it all belongs to you. Why? For, here it is, you are Christ's and Christ is God's. Why is this great inheritance yours? For you belong to Christ. Your identity, your life, the church is built on the foundation of Jesus Christ. And we're building with imperishable stones that will last forever. And we are fully secure in Christ. Here's how Paul put it to the church in Rome. We'll end with this. This is Romans chapter 8, verse 16. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. Look down at verse 31. What then shall we say to these things? They're so good. If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Did you walk in this morning feeling really blessed, really rich, really fortunate? I hope that's how you feel when you leave. For all things are yours in Christ. Is that a deep thought? Is that spiritual meat that you need to chew on this afternoon? Bring about the dinner table again and think about what would it look like? I mean, just think about this. How would your life change truly, truly, if you recognize the foundation you're building on is Jesus Christ? That's your identity? That the community is the temple of God, the manifestation of God's presence, heaven and earth coming together to be with his people is what's happening here. And that you are fully secure for all things, life, death, this world, this present, and the age to come are all yours in Christ. That's radical. That's awesome. That leads to worship. And it's all yours for you are Christ's. And how are we Christ's? Is by the work of Jesus Christ. And so we're going to move to communion to remind ourselves of the work of Christ that brought us into this glorious inheritance. So if you're helping with communion, would you come forward? Communion is for the believer, those who belong to God, the communion, the union table. And we don't want to eat in a frivolous way. We want to eat in a serious way to confess our known sins to God because he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we come to this table saying, Lord, would you forgive us? Would you cleanse us to be right with you, be right with one another before we eat? Passover was the meal that Jesus was at with his disciples on the night he was betrayed. Passover was the historical meal that the people of God gathered around to remember God's work of bringing them out of slavery in Egypt into the place of promise of life. And there at that communion, or at that Passover table, he institutes communion, the Lord's Supper. He takes bread from the table, this unleavened bread. He says, this is my body that's given to you, take and eat. And then he takes wine from the table at the end of the meal. This cup was to represent the blood of the lamb that was spilt in Egypt, a perfect lamb in which each family was to take its blood and mark the household of their life and say, this belongs to God. We're trusting in God's gracious provision. And they were passed over with judgment. And so it's at this table that Jesus takes the elements of the table and he attributes it to himself and says, this is the greater work, the greater exodus from death and sin. This is the better covenant established in my blood once and for all. And so let us prepare our minds and our hearts to receive. Father, we thank you that you are the living God, so gracious and so generous. And as we peer into deep things, about our identity, about the community of believers that we belong to as the temple, and to rest in the security that all things are ours in Christ. Father, would you meet us at the
the Lord's table, to do a spiritual work in us, to encourage us. And so, Lord, we turn our eyes to you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.